Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
Welcome to Adventures in Companionship with myself, Refilwe, and the amazing Dr. Bill Price. He's definitely not new to radio. He was the national presenter for 4 programs years ago. Glad to have him back. Dr. Bill is a Master Executive Global Leadership and Strategy Coach. He is also qualified in neuroscience, brain biology, and a member of the Institute of Coaching for the McPhee Association of Harvard Medical University. He's a professional international speaker, a coach, a husband to Estelle, a father to 2 adult children, and a grandpa to 4 amazing alive grandchildren. He loves reading, hiking in mountains, laughter, walking in nature, good movies, socializing, and as a futuristic, he loves scanning the horizon for new trends unfolding as we live in the now of today. Let's all welcome Dr. Bill Price family.
Rafilwe, thank you very much, and hello to everyone out there. I'm so excited, looking forward to taking this Adventures in Companionship a little bit further, and we're taking new steps every single program all the time. Don't forget to make contact with us. We're looking forward to hearing from you. And you drop us an email at inspired@drbillprice.com and we will get back to you. So how has your life been going in terms of companionship, Rafilwe?
I think listening to all the programs and also just challenging myself to do better in that area, it's been amazing. And You get to be challenged. Your character gets challenged a lot, and it's up to you how you respond.
Okay, wonderful. So when we look at anything in life, we can some of the psychometrists they'll tend to take life and turn it into all sorts of percentages.
Yeah.
But I've discovered that 80% of any relationship is about connection. And 20% is about skills. 80% of a business is interpersonal relationships with people, and 20% is their skills applied at a particular job. So 80% of people will resign because they're not getting on well with anybody and somebody in particular, and only 20% of people will resign because they don't have the capacity or the competency or the skills.
Yeah.
So relationship, we were created in relationship. The whole story of relationship, when we look at it in John 17, even eternal life is defined in relationship, where Yeshua, Jesus says, and he's praying to the Father, and he says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you as I know you and be at one with you as I am at one with you." So it's about connection. It's about interpersonal relationship. It's about weaving. It's about mutual understanding. It's about being in each other's presence. And it's sometimes in each other's space. But today we're going to be talking about the context in terms of the backdrop of any relationship and how do we live in it in the now. So everybody is living on a timeline, and that timeline can be divided into past, present, and future.
Yeah.
9 out of 10, there's a lot of people, when you talk to them, all they talk about is the future. Oh, one day I'm going to do this and one day I'm going to do that. And I don't know how many one-day friends you've got and companions, but those people, when they finish, you're tired. You're like going, "You've told me all about one day. Could you tell me about today?" And then you have people who tell you about yesterday. Now, they are the ones that will suck all the energy out of you because the past is based on their story, is based on how they have adjusted the story to themselves and in themselves. It's based on how they have put meaning to that story and some of the identities and titles that they have aligned themselves to because of the past. So someone has a failure in a relationship and they call themselves a divorcee. someone, a relationship, one of the persons in the relationship dies, and now they're either a widow or a widower, and it becomes that that title, that identity becomes their sense of being for the rest of their life. If they've failed, then they're a failure. If they've stolen, then they're a thief. If they are drunk, then they're an alcoholic or a drunkard. And so we tend to take titles and we turn experiences into identities. And that's one of the things that we do regarding the backdrop of any particular relationship. You walk into a relationship with someone, and remember that we said you don't automatically become this deep best friend.
Yeah.
So we first of all start with understanding that I've been created to relate. And then there's this mutual attraction. So we see one another, and what attracts us is either a sense of humor or an openness or respect or deep understanding. And there's something in the being of the person that tends to magnetize us. We are pulled towards it, and we then move towards that person in terms of endeavoring to create some form of a little bit more of a depth in our companionship and relationship. And then the person becomes an acquaintance, we meet more often, and then it moves into the fact that we are now suddenly far more aware of who we're working with and how we're working with them, and then our values switch on, and we then discover how aligned we are based on our values and based on the things that really matter and are important to us. And then we go onto this road, which is about awareness, about being conscious of where I am and who I'm with. And I don't have the opportunity to build any sense of relationship if I don't go into that relationship
yeah.
with a giving mindset. So if I'm there as a sponge just to receive, then the other person feels inept, and they feel, wow, you know, I'm constantly giving, giving, giving all the time, or I'm doing all the talking and the other person is doing all the listening, and basically just being lazy. But there's got to be equal amounts of energy that have to come from both parties to make a companionship work in any particular way.
Yeah, I agree with you there, especially because I've seen people just be content with just giving, giving and giving without actually realizing that it could be a sign of something that's missing in their life.
Mm.
You know, other people find fulfillment in them just giving, giving, giving as a yeah. way. Even if the other person is taking advantage of them, they are just okay with giving.
Yeah, we call that the savior mentality, or the savior role model. I'm in this relationship to save you. I'm in this relationship to give to you.
Oh.
I'm sacrificing everything. And they let you know about that as well. So they'll constantly let you know, listen, look how many times I'm coming to visit you without you having called me. And here yeah. I am, tra-la-la. And they sometimes use manipulation and as a way of bending your ear and your heart towards them. So so all of us, whether we like it or not, we've got our own. We come into any relationship space in terms of context with our past. So the line of the past is a story, and we enter into any companionship process, both of us, with a well-developed past, and our past is based on the parents, the role models, the people that have been the folks that have added value in our lives, uncles, aunts, grannies, grandpas, teachers, whether they've done good to us or have been harmful to us and bruised us, we hide all of that. So the bruises are stored in the body. So no matter what happens to us, an emotion whether it's positive or negative, turns into energy in the brain, and then it gets stored somewhere in a muscle, somewhere in one of the areas of our body. So
yeah.
When we sense stress, some people will immediately pick up stress either in their mouth or in their neck or the back of their shoulders or on top of their shoulders, or their hands begin to perspire. And that is a signal where that emotion has gone and embedded itself in the physical. So even although we are involved with life, our body also absorbs everything. So it doesn't just focus on putting stuff into memory. And memory is everywhere. Memory is even into our muscles. So you have something which is known as muscle memory as well. So the good and the bad, the tragic, the hurtful, the painful, those things are hidden somewhere deep inside of us. The context is, so if we had to draw a circle with a dotted line, inside that circle, what defines the context is who, what, when, where, how. When those five things are working together in unison, we discover the why. So the why is not part of the context. It's who's in the circle. We're bringing their past, their present, their future into the circle. What are we talking about? What's the issue at hand? How are we relating to each other? When are we relating to each other? What is it that we are focusing on? So it's what, when, who, and where that create context. And when you put all those little circles together, it becomes like a movie, and it's like a scene. So you're watching one of the soapies on television. They are always, you'll always see when they're going to move into the new scene, it's when the last actor stares. So you'll get talk, and then they stare. And then immediately the camera pans out, and boom, in comes the next scene, and we go somewhere else. So there's a little hint for you. Try and look at your next soapy and check for the stares, and then you go, okay, I know. Next scene, here we go. So all the scenes kind of get put together, which makes up the movie. And that's also the context of the movie. But each scene within itself is a subset of the large context in which we live. So we all live in a context called life. We live in a context called relationship. Mm-hmm. And where this relationship is going to go is based on the little snippets of scenes that we have. So you'll have guys and girls going, oh, I'm madly in love. How long have you known her? Oh, I've seen her twice. How do you know that you can use the word love? Because aren't you just infatuated? No, it's definitely love. I'm going, so love is about, if you want to read up what the definition of love is, that it's kind and faithful and generous and trustworthy. Is it that kind of love? No. Oh, okay, so that's infatuation, or it's eros love or physical love. But it's really not the agape kind of love, the love that is sacrificial. That is a life lesson learnt kind of love. And so we all work within a context, and that context is determined by the way that we show up, and the context is determined by our interests and our values, but we are always working within the confines of this wonderful little stage called context. And it's important to understand that context, because the context, even when you're reading your Bible and you read a scripture, you've got to ask the question, so where's this happening? Is it in the day or is it at night? Is it in a town? Is it in a village? Is it in a street? Is it in a house? Is it in a temple? Where is it? Who's there?
Yeah.
Because they all play a role in the whole reality of the what is the subject content that they're talking about? What's the question that's being asked? And how are we going to respond? And how does the person respond? So the game of relationship and companionship is always played within the context reality.
You know, speaking with from what you're just saying, can you actually help me understand? You spoke mostly on the muscle memory, right? I know whenever I go back to working out, it's not as hard if I didn't spend a long time not being inactive. If I'm still active, but then not just going to gym, even when I go to gym, it's easier for me to pick up that. It's not harder, but then it's easier for me to pick up the same pace.
Yeah.
So it's like if I used to maybe lifting up 5 kilograms of weight, I can lift up 4 kilograms of weight without really struggling.
Yes. So muscle memory works exactly like that. So you pick up a 5 kilogram weight, your body will respond to it, it will build resistance, all the nerve endings will get messages, your muscle will feel what it feels like to pick up a 5 kilogram weight. And what's also interesting, Rafilwe, is that when you have a picture of the ideal arm that you want to develop, so if you've got a very clear picture, you can add to the muscle memory through visualization, and you can tell the muscle, excuse me, this is how I want you to look. And the muscle literally trains itself based on what you've seen, and then it takes the energy from the 5 kilogram weight and it starts shaping the muscle. You can measure it. You can literally measure it from the photograph.
Wow.
Your muscle will look very similar or just as like the muscle on your arm. So muscle memory is more than just exercise and energy and feeling stiff.
Yeah.
It's also got to do with the other languages of our brain, which is sight, hear, smell, taste, feel. And the moment you see and feel, that's also part of muscle memory. And we can build our relationship on a picture. So we're going to go, so tell me, what's the picture of our relationship? What do we see ourselves doing?
Mm.
Well, we'd like to be talking and we'd like to be relating. I'd like us to be able to talk about things of interest. I'd like us to be able to challenge each other. And you create almost like a relationship connection contract with each other. But then you need to really clearly define, so when we are relating, this is what it should look like. I'd like to hear us laughing often. I'd like to hear us listening to each other often. I'd like us to pay attention to each other, to pose questions, to feel alongside with. And so you create a picture of what this relationship should look like. And my wife and I, at the end of every year, have a time where we go away for a weekend and we plan what our relationship must look like in the next year.
Yeah.
And we're not going to live last year over again. We definitely,
wow,
no way, because there's no testimony in saying I've been married for 38 years or 48 years and it's been the same year 48 times in a row. That's, you know, there's no glory in that. And if there's no challenge, there's no growth. And if there's no growth, then there's no maturity and development.
How important is consistency? Because you just mentioned that the 40 years cannot be the same. You know, the following year, it has to be different. You cannot live last year again.
Yeah, so being married for 48 years, we've had to make a decision. Are we still going to be fighting about the same stuff that we did when we were married for 2 years? Like toothpaste lid that's off, or the toothbrush that's not in the glass, or the soap that's not in the... You've got to get over that stuff, for goodness sake, and going, you know what, if we're still fighting about that stuff, then we are really radically immature.
Mm.
And so one has to be able to develop a picture. The basics needs to be there. We do want to have connection all the time. We do want to have eye contact. We want to be able to relate to each other. We want to be able to pray and meditate together, something which my wife and I do most mornings. And we have meditations that we work through. We call them Sila meditation times. And so we build on creating something new. We want to do something adventurous this year that we never did last year.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff. So you bring variety into it, but you're always living on a foundation.
Wow. Thank you so much, Dr. Bill Price. Remember, if you would like more input or you would need his assistance in understanding things better or just helping you, you know, clear a few things, you can email him on inspired@drbillprice.com. inspiredbillprize.com. Remember, the email is inspired@drbillprize.com. This is from me, Rifule, and the amazing Dr. Bill Price. We'll see you next time.
From your ear to your heart, to your mouth, to your feet, join this life on 657 AM.
It's difficult to face the overwhelming pressures of life alone. Sometimes we just need someone to talk to, someone to listen to us. And what better way to do that than through a quick and easy WhatsApp text? Whether you're having a hard time coping with school, family issues, being bullied, depression, or anxiety, speak to someone who cares today. Send a WhatsApp message to 064-530-6805 or 074-995-9085. Our I Am Youth Counseling team, Charles DeToy and Danny Vambili, are ready to connect with you today.
Many people across South Africa are being blessed and encouraged by the Radio Pulpit devotional magazine, The Word for Today. This publication places the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hands of more than 100,000 people every day, inspiring every person, from the professional businessman to the needy person who lives in the streets. Each edition contains daily scripture-based devotionals and inspiring articles to help you grow spiritually. The booklet is given with the compliments of Radio Pulpit, but your donation, large or small, will help us to print the next edition and continue being the hope of the gospel to a world in desperate need. The Word for Today. Get yours today on 012-334-1200 or subscribe online at www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.